So we're in Matthew 20 tonight, Matthew 20, and focusing on verse 16, but I want to read through the story. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. And whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And tonight, I want us to think about, is salvation fair? Now let's think about the story for a minute. Starts off at 6 a.m. That's early. And these people are already out waiting for the man with the vineyard to come and hire people. They've gotten up earlier than 6 a.m. They're out there, and they're hoping they get hired. It's harvest time. Workers are hoping to have work. They want this work. They have families to provide. They've got bills to pay. And even though the King James Version says a penny, the actual payment was a denarius. And this form of payment would have been a full day's wage. It would have been what anyone would have reasonably expected to work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, you know, that's quite a work day. 12 hours, that's your wages for it, and that's what you would have agreed upon. Now, as we go through the story, we see that people are hired at the third hour, at the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and even the 11th hour. That's even 5 p.m. Now, you see these people are still waiting around, and they're getting nervous. So, first of all, there is some inequality here. The people that are hired at 6 a.m. spend the whole day knowing they're getting paid. They don't have any burden of that. But there are people that are there till 5 p.m., an hour left, and they don't know if they're going to get paid. They're willing to, you see here in the story, they'll take anything. They just want some work. But they were all paid fairly. But is it really fair? In a way, he was being overgenerous in this parable. But when we look at Christ, he was being overgenerous to us all. Because what is fairness here in this very last verse I want us to focus on? So the last shall be first, and the first last. Now, I've heard this verse used. I can remember sometimes here at school, teachers would say, all right, let's get in our line. And I'm sure all the elementary teachers can say, you know, how excited their kids are when they're the line leader. I mean, that is a privilege. I always like being the monitor because, you know, you could let your friends talk in the bathroom, and then your people that weren't your friends knew they couldn't talk or they'd get in trouble. So you kind of had some power. Your friends liked it when, you know, you liked it when you had a friend that was the bathroom monitor. You get away with some stuff. But they like that. They like to lead the line. I'm first. And I'd have some teachers that one day they'd go, okay, everybody that we'd all, you know, you'd rush to lunch. Whoever's at the front, get to the back. Whoever's at the back, get to the front. Now, if you were in the back, you love that. You're like, I walked quietly down here. I did what I was supposed to do. I get to go first. Kids up front hated that. It's not fair. I got here first. You know, like Ben maybe. He just ran down to lunch. That's not fair. Ben ran down there. He got there first. He deserves it. But that misses the point, because the last is first, and it's switched, but now they're not equal. Somebody's getting something first. We've also heard this verse used with being humble, that if you debase yourself and you're not proud, you can be first. And if you're prideful, you may end up being last. But then all that makes you do is pridefully be humble. All you end up doing is letting others go first, hoping my day's coming. You just go first. You go first. I'm not going to take any glory, but one day, just maybe, I'll be the one in front of everybody. Maybe one day my humility will pay off. And that's not very humble to put humility in the bank. So what this verse really saying here is if those in the front are really last, and those in the back are really in the front, well, then we've just got a circle. We've just got people moving and moving and moving, and we're really all the same. We're all finishing in a dead heat. If this were a race, everybody finishes at the same time. If the NASCAR track were big enough, every car would pass through at the same time. That would be maybe a boring Kentucky Derby if every horse passed through right at the same. Even with that laser down the middle, if everybody crosses it at just the same time, they finish in a dead heat. And to us, our sinful self, we don't like that. We want there to be a winner, and we want there to be a loser. You know, maybe that's why we've been talking about it with the World Cup and soccer going on. Maybe that's sometimes why we don't like soccer. There are draws. That's like, you know, a tie is like kissing your sister. That's not what you want to do. You want to win. You want to be the one that beats somebody, because you want to do it on your own. You want to go out there and be rewarded off your merits. And so we see that's like with T-ball out here. You know, there are some parents that wonder, why do you have winners and losers? Why can't everybody get the same trophy? Why can't the scoreboard just say 100 to 100? Everybody gets on base whether they hit the ball or not. You know what I mean? Everybody wins. But there's something about it that we don't like that. We don't want to instill that in our kids, that there's not winners and losers. Because in life, there are. There are winners and losers. And sometimes that's how we look at the Bible. Sometimes we would think, well, don't Daniel and Joseph probably deserve more than Samson and Lot get in heaven? Don't those two characters, they did everything right. The Bible never says anything bad about Daniel or Joseph. But Samson and Lot, to us, they lived wicked lives. And maybe, sure, they can get to heaven, but they may not deserve the things that Daniel or Joseph get. Or maybe we think that there are Bible characters that we just can't live up to. That those people probably will deserve more than us, but, you know, maybe we can get more in heaven than so-and-so brother in the church, and maybe we can do better than that. Or sometimes we think about heavenly riches. We think about what we can store. We don't think about meeting Christ. We wonder what'll make it through the fire. Hopefully I don't have too much hay and stubble. Hopefully I'll have some jewels. But in all this, we miss the point, because none of us deserve Christ's wages. None of us deserve what He's paying. Whether you got hired at 6 a.m. or whether you got hired at 5 p.m., no one deserves what He pays. Because there's a difference between being fair and being just. Now, it would have been both just and fair for Satan, his angels, and even all of us to spend eternity in hell. That would have been just. God would have been right in doing that, and you really can't say He would have been unfair. Both Adam and Lucifer really did the exact same thing. Both are given a place of privilege. Both have a relationship with God the Father. And what do both do? What did we do in Adam? We wanted to be like God. We wanted to be equal to Him In fact, we wanted to push him aside. We can do the job better. I want to know what you know. I want to know good and evil. I want to be like unto God. And it would have been fair for us to spend eternity in hell because that's what we wanted to do. We made our choice. We were put in a place where we could make the right choice. And we didn't. And it would have been fair and it would have been just for us to go to hell. But thankfully, fairness isn't that important. Justice and mercy are. Because it's not fair that Christ, the only being to ever be equal to God, the phrase in the Bible, he counted it not robbery to be equal with God. Robbery, taking something you don't own. What did Satan want? He wanted to be like God. That's not his place. He was given a place and that's not his. He wanted to rob it. What did we do in Adam? What did Adam and Eve do when they ate the fruit? They robbed from God. He told them, the knowledge of good and evil is not for you. It's not beneficial. It's not for you. And we took it, we ate it because we wanted it. We robbed it. But what about Jesus Christ? He counts it not robbery to be equal with God. It's his rightful place. But what is he asked to do? God the Father doesn't force him, but in love, he wants to sink to the depths of hell and be separated from his disciples, from anyone that could follow him. Everyone left him to die. Even God the Father had to forsake him so that he could die for our sins. It's not our place. Here we are over here because we're really no better than Satan and his angels. Both man and demons wanted to be equal with God. We don't want to be down here. We want to be up there. And the only person, the only being in existence that's allowed to claim it says, you know what? I count it of no esteem. If God wants me to go down and be a sacrifice for these people, I will gladly do it. He was willing to give up what we're over here fighting for. What we're over here sinning and trying to rob. He's over here saying, if God says it's not for me right now, then I don't need it. I'll go become a man and I'll die for these people. I'll be separated from God the Father, who I've known for eternity. I'll be separated from all earthly friends, if that's what he wants. And he does that. He lives a perfect life. He does everything what God wants him to do. There's no greater humility than Jesus Christ. He did everything the Father wanted him to do, and he did it willingly and in love. And so is it fair that he should have to suffer the law? He spent his years as a boy, as a teenager, as a young man, as an adult. He spent it obeying the law. That's what we're supposed to do. But he does it for us. We're supposed to be separated from God and in hell. But he does it for us. He doesn't even make any claims on it. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. At the very end, he goes, you do with me what you will, because it's just. Whatever your decision is, whatever you do with me, I'm happy with. He follows him with his whole heart, with his whole mind, with his whole body. And is it fair that he has to do it and we reap the benefits? And if you think about it, no, it's not fair. And it's good for us that it's not fair. Because think about with our parable. We really do all finish in a dead heat. Because if you think about the laborers here, they argue, they fight. That's what we do. That's what somebody that might have been saved their whole life. They can only remember, you know, I remember, they may say, I remember being 4 or 5 and getting saved. and spending my whole life following after God. They got hired at 6 a.m. And then there may be someone that in the waning years of their life gets saved, spent who knows what they did for all that time away from God, but they get saved here at the end. Is it fair that they both get the same benefit? That they both get the same salvation and same forgiveness and same eternal life? There's got to be something that separates them. But the minute we think that, the minute we forget how wicked we are, the minute we forget that none of us deserve it. And so learning what Christ did and learning that salvation isn't fair, it's a gift. Looking at what Christ did, and if we keep our focus on all that He had to do to save us and the burden He was willing to take, it does some things for us. One, it can make us happily accept anyone in Christ. Anyone that accepts Christ, we can gladly make them our brother and sister. Now, sometimes that's hard. Because do you ever sit and think that there may be murderers, former murderers in heaven, former people that committed horrible acts, that will go to heaven because they believed on Jesus Christ and they repented because God saved them? Focusing on Christ, we realize that the minute we think somebody doesn't deserve heaven, we're questioning Christ's authority. Because when you say, this person doesn't deserve it, you're questioning the person who gives it. You're questioning the person who saves. And Christ has all the authority to save whoever He wants. Because what He did was so perfect and so unbelievable and so humble that Christ has raised Him from the dead and given Him all authority to save whoever He pleases, to make whoever He pleases His bride. And that humbles us. That allows us to love anyone that is a part of Christ. It allows us to be forgiving. It allows us to realize that we're equal to them. And importantly, what I think most importantly, we live without fear of having to earn our wages. You know, it's almost like putting it in human terms, it's kind of like a Major League Baseball contract. If I saw out here on the baseball diamond and I was scouting for, well, you know, Boston Red Sox, we'll make Ben happy. I was scouting for him, and I saw Kyle, and I saw those long arms, and I saw that high baseball IQ, and I said, you know what? I think we can make you into something, Kyle. I'm going to give you, I'll give you a couple-year contract for about $1 million, and you know what? I'll even throw in brand new PT Cruiser. I'll update you on one. And so, you know, and hopefully Kyle's like, can we at least get another car? So Kyle signs on the dotted line. Then the next day, Kyle's out here doing something, gets in a car accident. Kyle can't play baseball anymore. I'm contractually obligated to pay Kyle every dime he signed for. And he hasn't done anything for me. Because the rules state, he's guaranteed that money. He's done nothing. He hasn't pitched for me. I've still got to give him that new car. I've got to pay him every cent of that $1 million because we agreed on it. And if we look here in this parable, what is the vineyard? What is the man of the house? What is the situation? Very first line, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto. This is the kingdom of heaven we're talking about. These aren't sinners and Christians out there working. These are just Christians. These are people God has already bought. These are people that they've already agreed on the wages. And this is us. We're already saved. We already are guaranteed forgiveness in Christ, His righteousness. We're guaranteed no guilt. We're guaranteed entrance to heaven and eternal life and fellowship with Him. But you think like the question Paul had to answer. Well, then if I'm already going to get my wages, why don't I just sit in the break room all day? Why don't I just kind of do as much work as I have to do so it look like I did work? Have you ever had those days where, you know, maybe I can get enough done to where it looks like I did some work and, you know, I can just kind of breeze on by? But That's not at all what the Christian life is. When we realize all that Christ has done for us, we're shackled by love. Because God didn't have to create rules and tell Christ and say, when you go down there, you got to do this and this and this, and I'm expecting this and this and that. No, Christ did it willingly. He did it in love. And that drove him to the depths of hell, his love for us. And so in turn, our love for him will be what makes us work. If you're truly saved, it's your love for Christ that makes you want to do for him, not an expectation that you have to earn anything. Because when you really think about what he did, nothing you could do could ever earn that, could ever earn his perfect life. And doing all this made me think of, I don't know if any of you have ever read the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, a very popular comic strip, but there's one where the little boy comes in and his dad's sitting at the couch, he's reading the paper. He said, "Dad, why do you get to go to bed whenever you want? And I've got to go to bed, he looks at his watch at 8 p.m. He goes, "Well, son," he said, "life's not fair." And the son, little boy slinking away with a grimace on his face, and he goes, "When's the world ever going to be unfair in my favor?" So, and maybe you've thought that. When's the world ever going to be unfair and it benefit me? But that's what the Bible tells us. Because Christ, in a way, was unfair. The whole Bible story is unfair. That God would have to suffer because of what we did. And that now he's not just Jesus Christ in heaven. He's now the God-man, the Redeemer, the High Priest. He's something more now. And we have something more than we ever could have in the garden. We now can call him brother. We can call him Redeemer. He's now like us because he was once a man. And so that's all unfair. But it's all unfair in our favor. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to read your word tonight. And Lord, we just ask you would help us focus on all that you did in your Son, Jesus Christ, in his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and that it would help us to be both loving of all our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that it would help us strive to honor you and glorify you, not for more for us, but so that we could show you how much we love you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.